Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Three Wise Men. I'm Miles Holiday, Nate Garlock, and Mark Schein, who is pinch hitting for our sick friend, Danny Holbrook. Mark, thanks for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be a part of this. I've heard that it's going to get an Emmy at some point down the road or whatever
they
it is
said
they
something.
Do. And, yeah,
not
whatever,
an Emmy, but they said
Emmy, Razzie. They all sound the same.
It's going to get something. I'm glad to be a part of it. They're probably messing up.
One of the critics said, people watch this? So, yeah, I think you're right about that. Hey, we get every show started with the Diamond Dave Bowen best things we saw all week. Mark, what'd you see this week?
Well, I'm going to go a little off base here a little bit. I don't like the fact that today's youth is so inactive. Okay, to start with that. I went to Delaware on Saturday to watch my grandson swim meet.
Okay.
This is not about him. In the morning, they had a herd of kids, 10 and under, swimming. He's in the 11 to 16 group. One race had 16 heats. There were so many kids involved.
Okay.
One had 11 heats. There were so many kids involved. I am really happy to see kids who get off the couch,
nice,
put their thumbs away, and get out and actually compete at something.
Put their thumbs
like
away.
Swimming.
I like it.
Well, it is. I think it's a frustrating thing to see so many inactive kids today and to go to this huge, wonderful facility at Delaware YMCA and see so many kids be so active and compete so much. That's my blessing for the weekend.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a great one. You know, for me, it's kind of, you're going to see a running theme out of me today as we kind of go through these things because it's, I saw a game Friday night over in Spencerville, mm-hmm, that may have been one of, if not the best game I have seen in the time that I've been able to call and broadcast games. That Bluffton-Spencerville game was absolutely fantastic. It had a little bit of everything. Spencerville down 9 going into that fourth quarter. Will Sensabaugh, 11 points. He hits the game-winning three-pointer. It was the confidence. It wasn't like just he ran up, threw it up, and hoped that it went in. I mean, he shot that. He knew the mm-hmm moment he pulled up that ball was going to go in. It was incredible to see. What's going to get lost in all of this, though, and I said it immediately afterwards because you just know how these things go. The big moment is going to be Will Sensabaugh hitting that three-pointer.
Absolutely.
What's going to get lost in all of that, though, is with 10 seconds left to go, Merrick Donaldson stepping up to the free throw line mm-hmm with the game tied and burying two free throws to give his team that two-point lead. That takes a whole lot of nerve and a whole lot of steady hand to mm-hmm be able to do that. He does that. It's not his fault 9 seconds later Will Sensabaugh buries right a three-pointer. But that back-and-forth game, Merrick Donaldson hitting those big free throws, Will Sensabaugh hitting a three-pointer, by far and away the best thing I saw this weekend.
Yeah, that was an amazing game. You were very fortunate to get a chance to call that one. We've been blessed with so many good games this year, haven't we?
And last weekend was special on WSN. It's like every game was a good game.
You're
in
right
some respect
yeah
or another.
Yeah. My best things, talk about another great game. Overtime thriller, Van Wert, which mm-hmm could have folded many times in that game, came back and beat OG. Griffin McCracken hits a three in overtime, had been silenced all game long, gets overtime started. But you know, Jeremy Best, man, he's got these guys playing really good basketball. And Keaton Welch, a guy that wants the ball in his hands at the end of the game, they only have one senior. Watch out for this team in the future, man. They are going to mm-hmm be absolutely fantastic. Their mindset to come back and overcome a really good effort by OG was outstanding. I really like that Van Wert team. And then the second thing I have, tickets in high demand in Lima Land, right? Mm-hmm. This is fantastic.
Right.
Heard stories of scalping tickets outside of Senior and Shawnee.
Yeah.
Coach should have been out there in a disguise, selling extra tickets, making some extra money, yeah, right? It is such a wonderful time for Lima Land basketball that tickets are in such high demand. Mark, you've been around for a long time. You've seen a lot of basketball.
Yep.
Can you remember another time like this where tickets are in such high demand?
I think you got to go back a few years. There have been eras where we had exceptional basketball in this community, and when that happened, this happened. The sellouts of the tournament games, the sellout of regular season games, but sometimes we get through a little bit of lulls. But right now, and I think we've got the sense ball is coming up a little bit later on, right? The young players in our communities right now are outstanding, and it's just bringing more and more people back who were starved for basketball after the COVID years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I just cannot remember. I know we've had big matchups, and you've had sellouts in one or two big games in a regular season. I mean, every weekend we are mm-hmm talking about games being sold out somewhere in our area. Not like, oh, we've had tickets on sale for 4 or 5 days.
Right, yeah.
They're selling out instantly.
Right. And how many times over the last, let's say, month have people come up to you and said, hey, are you guys going to do this game live on WSN? Because I can't get a ticket.
Yeah. In a year of so many great basketball teams in Alima land, we're joined by three of the guys from one of the best teams in all of Erie, from Spencerville, the Sensiballs, Kevin, Will, and Owen. Fellas, thanks for joining us here today on the Three Wise Men.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you guys are coming off a weekend of one. We were talking before we came on. It's one of the best games I have seen in all the times I've had a chance to broadcast and call games. That game Friday night against Bluffton was fun to call. It was fun to watch. You guys are saying it was fun to coach and play in. You don't get games like that very often, but for some reason, it seems like whenever you guys play Bluffton, that's how that game goes.
Yeah, two straight years we're winning at the buzzer. It's a little stressful, but it's a lot of fun, especially when you come out on the good end.
You know, well, we got to ask you. You know, obviously it comes down to the last shot. You step back, you hit that three-pointer. A lot of people can say, I want the ball in my hands, I'll take the last second shot. Saying it and doing it are a completely different thing. And it didn't look like there was I think everybody in the gym realized when you brought it up and they knew a timeout wasn't coming, you were taking that shot. And the confidence you had when you stepped into that three was not something you usually see out of players, let alone a sophomore, you know, playing at, you know, the type of game that you play at such a young age.
Yeah, that's actually funny because me and him were coming out of the timeout talking about it. And he told me he wanted it. But when I came down, I realized that it looked like a lot. He was being guarded. He was, like, almost face guarded. So I was like, I'm not going to go out of my way to give it to him. So at that point, I was just like, I'm just going to shoot it.
Yeah. Sure. Coach, great decision, though. You had a timeout left, and you decided not to use it. What goes into that?
Well, just I talked to the players in the timeout before. I just said, look, we have a timeout left. So if you can't get it in bounds, we do have that. But I do not want to use the timeout because I didn't want them drawing up a defense that we weren't prepared for. I basically just said one of these two need to, you know, get the ball and we'll run our break and set a ball screen up top and go make a play. And I trusted either one of them to do it, and it just so happened that Will was the guy that got it done.
Coach, the week before, I was forced to see your game at St. John's.
Okay.
So a game like that, that helps prepare you for what you saw then against Bluffton. Your guys are tested for those type of situations.
Sure. I don't think there's any doubt that that's we kind of beef up our schedule that way so that we play really good teams all year long. I want it to be that way because I think that's how you test yourself for the tournament, and that's kind of what the St. John's game is all about. They have, you know, one of the best players I've ever coached against and a great team around them, and our guys just battled their brains out and played so well defensively. And you know, I know it sounds weird that, you know, Cam had 37 points. I thought we did a really good job guarding him.
And, yeah, right.
You know, so to bounce back from a tough loss on Friday night and to come back and to play with that much grit and tenacity on Saturday night, I thought it took a lot of courage and toughness from our guys. So I was pretty pleased.
Agreed.
You know, you said coming out of the timeout, you know, Owen's like, I want it. And you guys coming down. It's got to be an interesting dynamic. Not only is Dad the coach, you guys obviously have grown up playing a lot of basketball together. Now you're playing varsity, you know, big time moments, you know, big brother, little brother. How do you guys work through this dynamic? Because listen, it's not, you know, you say you want it. You're not, you know, it's not a selfish thing either, but you know, it's still got to be an interesting dynamic to be on the floor because you guys are both so good. You guys are great at what you guys do, you know, but it's not just in practice. It's not just in a game. It's, you know, going to school in the morning. It's going home after practice. It's hanging out on the weekends. How do you guys balance this dynamic?
I don't know. Just like everything comes naturally. So we're so used to it. We do everything together. I mean, I don't really think, I mean, I might have told him that I wanted it, but as soon as he brought it down the court, I trusted him to do whatever with it. I knew he would make the right decision. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been pretty easy because I always played up with his team when we were really little. So it's really been ever since we've been alive, we've been playing together.
Probably second grade.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They've been playing together forever. So,
well, how's it been for you, obviously, coaching your sons?
And yeah.
It's a lot different when, you know, as parents coaching our kids in those youth sports,
yeah,
and, you know, little compared to obviously, you know, in the gyms on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah, I really tried to stay away from youth sports, like coaching them, because I knew that eventually I was going to coach them and I didn't want it to be overkill. So I didn't coach them all the time when they were little. I would help out the other coaches. But, you know, probably the thing that has been the coolest for me is the fact that they do get along so well. Of course, they bicker at home and all that stuff.
That's just brothers.
Yeah. But on the court, they do play so well together, and they're unselfish. And Owen's right. Like, I know that he had full full trust in Will just as I did. And he was not, you know, it's not, there's no like jealousy or anything like that. They are each other's biggest cheerleaders. And probably the most difficult thing for me was, you know, like sitting on the bench when he made that shot, you know, I didn't watch the ball. When he let it go, I was watching his body language to see if he felt like it was going in, and he knew it was going in. So I wasn't surprised when it went in. But, you know, at the same time, when it goes in, I really am trying to be, you know, a coach and not a dad. So I'm trying to, like, think through the next thing, you know.
Right.
And I'm thinking, like, you know, I'm sure Todd Boblett felt terrible, and that's a second straight year, so I kind of felt bad for him. And I was just, like, thinking about, you know, how I would feel in that situation. And I look across the way, and my wife and family are going crazy, having fun. I'm like, man, I wish I could do that a little bit, but it was all right. It worked out in the end.
So, Will, incredible shot. Great moment. Walk us through that moment. You know it went through, and you're celebrating. What's going on in the mind? How amazing is that?
Mm-hmm. I honestly don't even know how to explain it. I was just so relieved it went in, because that was a pretty tiring game, and I really didn't want to go into overtime. And then, yeah, I ran down, and I think he was the first one to hug me from behind. Kind of caught me off guard, and then the whole team kind of tackled me into the wall. But
they sure
it was
did.
Pretty fun.
Yeah. Is that your first walk-off?
Yeah, I think so, like ever, including every year I've ever played basketball. I think
no
that was
kidding.
My first buzzer beater.
Wow.
You guys are blessed to play with one of the best big guys in our area.
Yes.
So talk a little about what Carter Orr does for you on the court, off the court, how he's been a leader for your program, and just to be with him on the floor.
Yeah, I would say you hit it with the leader thing. Carter Orr, he's definitely our best leader off the court and on the court, because off the court, if like he can tell we're not like together as a team, he always gets us right. And then on the court, he might not be our leading scorer every night, but he can. He has that ability, but he gets every rebound, every loose ball. He's the toughest dude on the court at all times. It's great to have him on the team.
There are some seniors who don't like it when underclassmen overperform, but he's not that type.
No.
He just consistently well plays well and enjoys winning the basketball games.
I think that's probably the biggest thing. He's a winner. You know, he cares about winning. You know, he's incredibly unselfish. He's our best passer, you know, from the post. We get him the ball in the post a lot just so that he can make plays, not score necessarily. He has that ability, and sometimes when we like the matchup, he'll go do that. But sometimes we just throw it to him and get it in his hands so that he makes good decisions. He's a great passer. He sees the floor well, and he's a willing passer. He just wants to win.
Now, Coach brought up, or Dad brought up, or Dad Coach, what, I don't know what you guys do, but he brought up wanting to play quality opponents every single weekend. Do you guys like that as players, or are you like,
definitely.
Sometimes I wish we could just have an easy cupcake on a Saturday?
No, I like the hard schedule, yeah. But there's certain games on a Friday where I'm like, man, I wish Saturday we could just chill out a little bit.
Right.
But no, I like playing good competition. It's a lot more fun. Get to be on TV more.
I like that answer. Is there a school that you go to, the environment, maybe the student section is a problem, or is there a school that you're like, oh boy, we got to go there?
I don't really feel that way about any place. I actually like when opposing student sections are like against
us.
Okay, which student section is the most fun to play against? Bluffton.
Well, Bluffton for sure.
Yeah.
Last year at Bluffton was my favorite place I've ever played, but Bluffton and I mean, I know we got beat, but Grove, their student section was
they were
pretty wild. But
yeah, that was a wild night that night.
Yeah, it was
awesome. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the schedule. You guys get no breaks at all. This weekend, a huge matchup coming up against Marion Local. I mean, at a certain point, I know you guys say you like playing tough schedules and, you know, you build your schedule this way. But at a certain point, you got to go, oh, great, another state-ranked team, and then another state-ranked team, and then another state-ranked team.
It's tough.
You're going on the road for a lot of these on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously a big matchup against the Flyers. What are you looking for on that one?
Well, we haven't really talked about them a whole lot yet because, obviously, we're concerned more with Allen East on Friday night.
Sure.
But we know that they're really, really, really good. They're well coached. They're huge. You know, they've got a 6'8" kid that can shoot the three and score inside. And, you know, they're sound defensively. They've got some shooters around them. So it's going to be an incredible challenge. But, you know, like we said, all it can do is make us better. You know, it's not like That's the same way with the St. John's game. We went and we approached that game the same way. It's like, you know, regardless of what happens, win, lose, or draw, it's going to make us better. You know, if they beat us, then they've exposed some weaknesses that we have, and it's an opportunity for us to get better. If we beat them, that feels really good, and you gain some confidence. So I think it's a win-win.
You know, without giving too much away, because obviously we don't want to get into your game plans and all those things, you know, I don't know who you've made upset, Coach, over your time of coaching when the OHSAA decides where they're going to put you and send you. As now they get, they're sending you south, and you're going to have to see, you know, these MAC schools again, including Marion Local. Yeah. But does that, when you go into these games, you know, you're like, okay, we have this big game Saturday night, but there's a good chance we could see these guys again. Mm-hmm. Does it change how you approach that game and what you guys do?
Not really. You know, we always talk about with the whole team, like, it really doesn't matter who we play. It's how we play. Mm. You know, and as long as we're playing the right way, I'm good with the result, you know, one way or the other. You know, if we're playing as hard as we can play defensively, if we're paying attention to detail, if we share the ball, you know, that's what you can control. And so that's the things that we try to control. Sometimes the ball doesn't go in, you know, sometimes it does. That's the nature of the game. So I don't think it changes anything a whole lot.
Coach, you've got a couple weeks left in the regular season, and the your league is a logjam at the top.
Yep.
And in fact, I saw Al East on Saturday night. They shot the lights out from the three-point line. Your league is very competitive this year. How do you view your league going in the last 2 weeks of the season?
Our league is very good.
It is.
I thought this year is one of the deepest the leagues, you know, around the area, and as deep as we've been in a long time. I mean, obviously the addition of LCC helps that because they're a pretty solid team too. But, you know, Crestview is playing, I think they've won 13 straight. Mm-hmm. You know, LCC's pretty good. You've got Bluffton, who's, you know, like we said, has
tough
six losses,
team.
But just a tough luck. You know, obviously Grove's good enough to beat some teams. They beat us. We're, you know, playing pretty well too. So it's just, it's been tough. And I kind of thought at the beginning of the season that I was not sure if there was anybody that would go undefeated in conference play because I thought it was going to be that competitive, and it turned out to be the case.
Mm-hmm. You have Allen East on Friday, and they love to shoot the three. How scary is it when you play a team that just loves to shoot the three, not knowing that they're going to get hot one night?
Yeah, very. I mean, you know, if you're not paying attention to detail defensively and you're giving open looks to shooters that want to get some space, they can be very, very dangerous, and they've got some of those guys, and we know those guys very well. Some of them are AAU teammates, and you know, so it's definitely going to be a challenge going up there and getting a win.
And now you both play AAU basketball. How important is it to play AAU, to develop off season? So because it's a game. If you want to be good, right, you have to do those things off season. You can't just go play basketball in the winter, right?
Yeah.
How important is the AAU to you?
AAU is a really important thing because, I mean, first of all, it keeps you in shape, but it like keeps your mind in tune with the game. Like if you just go a summer off and you're just working in the gym by yourself and playing at open gyms, like that's not really going to be the best for you. But playing competitive and with a good team in the summer, that gets you ready for the season.
You know, Will, obviously coming in, there was a lot of expectations. You started as a freshman. You've been playing a lot of varsity minutes. What has that been like as a young player coming in? Obviously, there's a lot of extra attention. It's a small town, you know, sports is different. We've all been a part of that. Obviously, a small community. Everybody knows who you are. Dad's a coach. Brother was already there. You're stepping in as a freshman. And anytime that the conversation revolves around you, it seems to always start with, and he's only a sophomore, you know, back last year, he's only a freshman. How has that been for your development? Have you felt any extra pressure because of all of that?
I don't think I've felt any extra pressure, but that's mostly because I've had a good team around me, and I've had good leaders. Like last year we had good seniors. This year we have good seniors. And I think they really just helped me stay calm a little bit through all that. And they know we have big games coming up, and we really just focus on ourselves. What we can do to win.
Yeah, let's talk about that AAU circuit. And, you know, starting with pretty much your junior class in this area, and you look down, the talent that you guys have had to play against in the AAU circuit from juniors, sophomores, and freshmen is incredible. I you know, Mark, you've been around a long, Coach, you've been around a long time in this area. I don't know that I've ever seen a core group of young players on different teams this good this early.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. Now, there's been times where we've had great, great, great players in our area. There was a, you know, there was a spell there where Terrence Sullivan and Dakota Mathias and all those guys were playing at the same time. Great Martise Kimbrough, all these, you know, X, you know, all these great players. But this their classes have all been doing it from a very young age, and that's not easy to do. I mean, you know, you've got the Elwer kids and the Berkey kids at Shawnee. I mean, you know, and you've got all these other kids that have been AAU teammates, and sometimes they've played together and then they, you know, split up and got on different teams. And so it's a really, really good era right now for Northwest Ohio basketball.
Well, and I think the other thing that's impressive with it is you know, you, those guys that you mentioned, that those were great players in this area, but it was the individual. When you look right now at these teams, it's the duos. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, obviously you guys. You talk about the Berkeys, talk about the Elwers, you know, the Fosters over at Lima Senior. It's these duos somehow that are ending up in these schools, and I don't know that we've ever seen so many multiple superstar-type players on so many different teams at one time.
Yeah, it's been interesting, and you know, it's funny because we have ties with all those guys. You know, I played college basketball with Nick Berkey.
Okay.
He was a senior when I was a freshman at Ohio Northern. You know.
So you're saying he's much older.
He's much, much older. And Owen and Beckett played AAU together for a little while, and Trevick played with him for a little while. He also played on Andrew Elwer's team. He played on Cam's team. So we've kind of all been around it together for a long, long time.
If we have a two-on-two tournament in the area, who wins that one?
It'd be close.
This is a legitimate conversation that we have had amongst ourselves. If we had this 2v2 with these different groups, who would come out?
It just depends on the day.
You got to say us.
Yeah.
Well, what's it been like for you guys then? And, you know, obviously all these players that you just have all these ties to, you've seen how they've been. What was it like playing with those guys and then obviously watching them do the things that they're doing on top of all the great stuff that you guys are doing right now?
I mean, it's a really cool thing to see because not only did we play with them, but we're all friends. Like, we all still talk to each other. Like, it's just a cool thing to see because we all grew up playing together, and then now we see each other on TV every week and hear about each other. Like, it's cool.
I think there's a lot of respect there.
Yeah, for sure. Sure.
And sometime in the middle of March, end of March, this season's going to come to an end. You're going to take a week or two off, and April 1 is going to roll around. What are you going to focus on before November 1 next year when practice starts? What do you want to do to make you better?
I think in this offseason, I need to get my three-point shot back. Like, it's still good, but it's not as good as I want it to be. So, I mean, I'm going to be in the gym every day like always, but I'm going to get my shot back to where I want it.
What are you looking for, Will? What do you want to work on April 1 through November 1?
For me, I think mostly I just need to get stronger because there's still times where I go in the paint and get thrown around a little bit. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
I'm surprised he didn't say make the half-court shot after player of the game. I'm surprised by that.
I need to work on that.
Need to work on that.
You guys are 17-1. You got to be a close team to be 17-1, right? This is a close group, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions, and you're going to have to give me a teammate for the right response here, right? Who's the funniest guy on the team?
Oh, I would have Grady. I would say Grady Smith or Trevor Whitney. It's close, but
I could see that. Yeah, especially Trevor Whitney. He even plays funny, right?
I'd say Trevor's funny.
All right, who's the most underrated guy on the team?
Underrated. I would say Gavin Schwartz. Underrated because the work that he doesn't put up crazy numbers. Like, he doesn't put up crazy amount of points or anything, but when he gets in, he does his job, and he does the little things that we need him to do.
Just solid minutes, right, when he's
on
the floor?
Yeah.
All right, who's the best ball handler on the team?
Me.
Probably Owen.
It's actually surprising. Yeah.
I saw Will smile right there.
No, because he knows it's me, but he handles the ball more, but I got better handles.
Okay, who's the best gamer at video games on the team?
Ooh. Me, 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
On the whole team? I'm not sure I'm real proud of that.
Turns out we can be in the gym a little bit more.
It's definitely not me. It might be him.
It's definitely not him.
I don't really know.
Okay. All right.
I'll put myself up in the higher ranks, but okay. I don't really know.
And last one, you can include your dad in this one because we talked off camera. This was a point of contention. Who's got the best sneaker game on the team?
It's definitely not him.
Not him.
Definitely not him.
I get compliments all the time about my shoes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Maybe from older people, but like
old people.
Older people? Are you busting out Skechers or what? What are you wearing?
Seriously, it's like
I would say Jude Steeman and Carter Orr.
I like Carter's shoes.
Carter's a shoe guy.
Jordan,
It's part of basketball culture, right? Yeah, it is.
Well, guys, you know, it's been a lot of fun calling your games this season. You guys have had a lot of really good games against some really great opponents. The atmospheres that you guys have played in, you know, playing over in the Vatican, you know, even being at home last week against Bluffton, the Marion local game this weekend is going to be another great atmosphere. It is priming you guys for that tournament run. You guys have had some successful years. You guys have, unfortunately, come up just a little bit short from what your goals have been. Now having to shift south and seeing a different, you know, district for the first time, you know, has that – I doubt it's changed the mentality, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, whoever we're going to face, we're going to get ready, we're going to go and play. But has it fed that hunger a little bit, the results from the previous year coming into this season?
100%.
I think so, yeah.
Because, I mean, all my life, every year, district finals and then just short all the time. And it's been my goal. Like, even as a kid, I wanted his teams. I wanted them to make it out. Never did. And then I've been so close last year, and it's just
– Yeah, had OG.
We're right there. Yeah,
yeah,
we're right there.
Yeah, that was the tough one.
I
mean, it was probably the best team we've played, and we had them.
You did. Mm-hmm.
They just made one more play.
Yeah.
Coach, you were good for a really long time. Then you had a couple years where you weren't quite so good, and you've got it back again. What did you learn when you were having to work with teams that weren't as skillful as some of the other teams you've had?
That's a great question. I learned more. I've told several people this. I learned more in those years that we struggled than I learned in all the years before that and all the years since. You know, I think, you know, number one, it's very humbling when you're not good, and it was tough. But the biggest thing was I talked with our coaching staff and just, like, you know, because you concentrate so much on winning.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point when you're not winning, you know, you go, okay, so what are these guys getting from our program? Because if you're not winning, what are they getting? I mean, I want them to get something. I don't want it to be just about wins and losses, because then if you don't have a great team, then it feels like, you know, you got nothing out of it. And I just was frustrated about that. And so I actually read a book. It was called Surrender the Outcome. It's a great book. You guys know Gabe Cupps plays at Indiana.
Okay.
His dad, Brooke Cupps, is the head coach there. I played against Brooke Cupps in college. He and I were – he was in the same league. We were the same age, so I played him for 4 years. He wrote this book, and I read the book, and it changed everything about the way I did things, and it just changed – and, you know, I kind of felt like I've been doing it wrong for a long time, right, and I wanted to fix it. So we just went back to trying to change some of the, like – build a better culture and make sure that our culture was the very first and most important thing that we talk about, rather than wins and losses. And that's where our kind of our FACT, you know, our FACT mantra came from. And it really taught me how to better develop people. And I that's the thing I most appreciated about it. And, you know, I probably should thank him. You know, I haven't talked to him since. I haven't seen him since, but it was a great book. It's a great read. It's an easy read, and it really taught me about how to become better. And so I think we're always trying to improve. Mm-hmm. And so I took that to heart, and we got better from it.
Well, tell us a little bit about FACT.
Sure. It's just our core values. The F stands for family. That's, you know, our first and foremost. And ever since these guys have been in school, we've had a very tight-knit group, like you said before. And then our A is accountability. We always want to, you know, be accountable, and we talk about how do we become accountable. Well, you have to know what your job is, and then you have to dedicate yourself to doing your job. And then the C is for competitiveness. We always want to be as extremely competitive in everything that we do. And then the T is for toughness. And our program has always been, you know, a pretty tough program, I feel like,
right,
when we're doing things the right way. And the cool thing is, when we introduced these to our players, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, they bought in 100%. They were all about it. They loved it.
That's great.
They didn't, you know, they didn't go, oh, this is silly stuff. They didn't do that. They were all in from the very get-go, and it has really made our program better.
Well, do you want to ask the ending Danny?
Since Danny's not here.
Yeah, do you want to be Danny?
So don't hold this one against me. Danny does this for everybody. All right, it's just us here. No one else is watching. who is your favorite team to beat?
Favorite team? Bluffton.
Bluffton.
No, that was quick.
No hesitation on that one.
Yeah.
All right, last question for me before we get you guys out of here. You know, we've been lucky to talk to a couple of different families that they come through here. And I always just kind of want to know, what does it mean for you three to be able to do this together? Obviously, you know, being a coach and being players, it's always meaningful. But being family kind of changes that dynamic. What does it mean for you guys as brothers to be able to play and for you, Dad, to kind of be coaching your sons during this time?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, a lot of people ask about that, like, how is it coaching your sons? And I don't feel like it's been a whole lot different than coaching, you know, the other players on the team. I don't really see as much of a difference. You know, when we're on the floor, we treat them just like everybody else. That's just the way it works. I'm maybe a little bit harder on them. I'm probably harder on him because he's a point guard and I was a point guard.
Right.
And, you know, so I've got some higher expectations. But I think it's been a lot of fun for me. Now, the one thing that we don't do is we don't talk about a lot at home. We really don't. It just partly because, you know, they go down the basement and hang out, and my wife and I hang out upstairs some. So, but we don't bring it home a whole lot. I just didn't want to do that. I thought that was, you know, that can be overkill sometimes. So we just, you know, it's been pretty smooth.
That's been a common thing theme that we have seen, and we know when we've had you know fathers and sons on here talking, it's been, we don't take it home. It's practice. It's at school. But then once we're in the car heading home, that we're done. We'll deal with.
Well,
this
sometimes in the car it is.
Yeah, the car is not in the car.
It's but once you hit home. The driveway, that goes up.
So how important is mom in holding this thing together?
She's the rock. She's the
incredibly
best part.
Important. She makes sure that, you know, that I stay calm, and, you know, when she can tell when I'm frustrated and upset, and she always makes sure that she's trying to crack a joke and make a smile or whatever the case. So yeah, she holds the whole thing together, there's no doubt.
So then what for you guys? What does it mean to be able to play with each other?
I mean, it's awesome because I think we both know basketball is one of the most important part of our lives, and to get to do it together every day and every year, it's awesome. It means a lot.
Yeah, and I think it helps because when I was in eighth grade, I watched his team lose in the district final. So really, ever since I came on the team, I just want it more for him and the older guys. So that's made me want to, like, get better and do as better as I can.
Well, Kevin, Will, Owen, thank you so much for coming in tonight. This was so much fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's do it again after you guys hoist that state championship trophy.
Sounds good.
That's what
sounds
I told him today. We want to be playing until March 22nd. That's the ideal goal. So I hope that's the case. I'm going to hold you to that.
All right. We will. We
absolutely
will. And we wish you guys nothing but success moving forward. Thanks
thank
so much
you.
For coming in, guys.
Thank
yes,
you.
Sir. Thank you.
Yep. Well, we have another great slate of games, 9 games on the docket this week. Let's start with a girls game on Thursday. Number 7, Kenton at St. Mary's. Nate Garlock and Austin Scott on the call. Kenton, guys, unbelievable at 16-2.
Yeah, this is a really good Kenton team. I think under the radar, not getting a lot of attention, mainly because they're playing in that Western Buckeye League right now, which being is dominated by maybe the best OG girls team that they've had in quite some time. But they're sitting there at 7-1. Their one loss is to that Ottawa Glandorf team. Mm-hmm. Technically not out of it yet. If you know, we see probably what would have to be one of the world's greatest upsets and OG falls. They still have a WBL game left. Kenton's still right there to be able to get that tie. They did get the one seed with the brackets and seeding coming out this past weekend. So a really good team. I like this team. I've had a chance to watch them one other time earlier this season. They do a lot of things really well. They score well. They play good defense.
I like this
team. St. Mary's kind of a down season. They are 4-4 in the WBL, but a losing record this season. And Kenton shouldn't have too much of a problem here, but I think for right now it's all about Kenton getting themselves ready for this tournament run, because when you look at how their bracket breaks out, they got a potentially a showdown with a really good Bellevue team down the road. Mm-hmm. But other than that, this is lining up for them to make a really deep run.
Well, I think we can kind of see this coming this year. Coach Bossman has been doing a really nice job with that program. And a year ago, Sadie Larrabee was first team all conference. She averages 10 points a game this year. A year ago, Macy Heckthorne was second team all conference. She averaged 11 points a game this year. Sydney Payne, she was third team all conference. She's averaging 15 a game this year. Then you bring in the freshman Bossman to play with them. You can
could kind of see this coming. You got 2 5-10s, and you got a 6 foot Heckathorn in the middle. It's a big team, a talented team. I think it's a really good basketball team that could go a long way.
Yeah, I think you guys are right, and well worthy of that number one seed. Mm-hmm. Game number two, Friday night, boys matchup, Elida at Wapakoneta. Mark, this is a game you're going to have with Jack McGuire. Now, this Elida team, really impressed with them early in the year, but it was mostly Wash and Island carrying the offense, right? But here of late, Marcus Hill and Parker Krim are double-digit scorers. This is a team that's really improving offensively.
I would agree with that. I think that it starts for them defensively, and we think of those two guys you mentioned, Wash and Island. They steal the basketball, and they do that.
They do.
But they've also become pretty good lockdown defenders, too, and they've also gotten pretty good at deciding when to go in transition and when to back it off and run some stuff in half court. I think Ryan Howard's done a nice job with those. You mentioned Parker Krim inside. Hill scored some. They've got some Altenberger scored a couple of times. They've got some other guys who stepped up and made baskets for them, too. When they get that third score with them, they're pretty good. I saw Wapak last weekend. It's a team that has just one senior, and he doesn't play a lot. So that's a young team that's really getting better. They got Ryan Richardson, and when he gets hot, he can be as streaky shooter as anybody around.
Yeah.
It's a team that averages about 43 points a game. They give up about 45 points a game. So it's a well-balanced mix for Wapakoneta. They're winning some games lately. I think this team's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, Richardson back, 22 points against Kent. Good to see him back scoring big numbers. Let me ask you this. Parker Krim, we've seen him several times this year. Best offensive rebounder you've seen?
I think that's true. It's amazing how his offensive rebound numbers dwarf his defensive rebound numbers.
That's true.
It's almost 2-1 offensive, and typically it's reversed of that, if anything at all. He really has a nose for the basketball. He's strong, and what some people forget is he's the first guy off the floor. He's not going to out-jump people in the gym, but he gets good position, and he gets off the floor so quickly, he gets to the ball, and with the strength in his hands, he's really good with that.
Now, Nate, I think the viewers need to know that you challenged him to a bench-off, and you beat him.
Oh, it wasn't even close. I almost felt bad for Parker. I think the difference in this Elida team at this point in the season than when we saw them earlier, I think it's two things. One, it's that half-court offense.
Yeah.
They really struggled with that early. Mm-hmm. The transition game worked great. They got up and down the floor. They're as fast as anybody that you're going to see in this area. But when you would slow them down, they'd get in that half-court offense. They really struggled to get things going and get into the flow of things. So I think that has gotten a lot better. And then we've been talking about it. I think it's Parker Krim. Parker Krim, we know how strong he is. He's a great kid. He's physical. He does those little things. But his footwork at times can be a little less than to be desired.
Good point.
And that has gotten better as the season has gone on. He has worked on it. He's put in that effort. And as we see that continue to improve, now we're seeing the offensive output. We're seeing the rebounds start coming up as well.
You know, I want to throw one negative out right here. He's obviously going to be a college football player somewhere.
It's fun watching every day he gets a new offer.
Well, yeah, but you know what really worries me? That young man is not going to get a chance to play basketball his senior year.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right.
And I know why. I get the college pressure to get in there, get in the weight room, get in with the program, whatever, but I sure would like to see him come back for his senior year and have a chance to compete this level again.
Especially a guy that works on it, right? His footwork's gotten better. I would show his free throw game. Awful last year. He's worked a lot on it. It's much improved this year. So he's a guy that spends the time and cares about his game.
Yeah.
All right, game number three, and it's just, surprise, another great game, right? Number five, Crestview at number eight, LCC. Randy Robertson, yours truly, will be on the call right there. Is there anyone hotter than Crestview? 13 in a row, Nate.
Yeah, no, this is a really, really good Crestview team. And again, I think it's a Crestview team that coming into the season, not a lot of people were thinking about when they were talking about this NWC or thought that they would have this type of season. I don't know that you ever think of Crestview like, oh, they won't be good, but I don't know that people saw this coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ren Sheets has been absolutely phenomenal this season. He's leading that team in almost everything. He's been really good, but he's been getting help from that supporting cast, and I think that that's why you're seeing that this long win streak that they've gone on. But you got to look at LCC, too. You know, LCC, they got off to a good start. They win the tip-off classic. They then go 4-6 in their next 10. Mm-hmm. They alternate wins and losses.
Right.
They look bad at times. They lost games that you wouldn't expect them to lose. You weren't sure what you were getting out of those LCC teams. Since then, 5 wins in a row. They have 2 really good wins where they knocked off. They had a great weekend, right? They knocked off Bluffton and, help me out, who'd they beat after Bluffton?
The next team on your schedule.
they had a really, really good weekend. Oh, Elida. It was the Bluffton Elida back to back. They go and they beat Bluffton on Friday night. They come back on Saturday night. They beat Elida, and that really catapulted this win streak that we're seeing them on. I still think that you get a little bit of inconsistency out of Coach Powell's team, and that's what they're trying to work on. But when you got two freshmen that you're relying on to get as many minutes as they are, you're going to have that. That's something that you're going to have to live with.
And Mark, this Crestview team, everybody knew Ren Sheets, right? He was good early. He's been good throughout. But has it been the guard play that's really spurred them to this 13-0
run? I would agree with that. They picked up a second perimeter scorer who's really helped them from the outside. Coach Esler's always going to teach them to play defense. They do that. And they've got a rim protector if somebody gets loose in Ren Sheets. So that, his ability to rebound, throw the ball into the post. He either post touches and scores or post touches and kicks out. They've been making three-point field goals. And to back to your point about LCC, Jordan Pretty's numbers in the month of January are off the charts. Not just that he's scoring in that 18, 19, 20 realm, but his field goal percentage is extremely high right now. His shooting percentage is up there. He's carrying a team with two young people and a sophomore post player in the middle. So he's really playing well right now. He's got to be a concern for everybody.
Well, let me ask you this, Nate. How does a LCC team defend a interior player like Ren Sheets?
It's going to be difficult for them because that is one of the things that they have struggled this year is that they don't have a ton of size. They don't have that guy. You started to see Dom McKee get a lot more minutes for LCC.
Love him on the football
and
field.
And for that very reason. They knew that they needed some size on the interior. He's really come ahead. This is his first year playing basketball. Mm-hmm. He's had to play catch up pretty quick. He's done a nice job. So they're going to use him as well. I really do think that Brady Parker and having this full year of varsity football under his belt has helped make him more physical as well. We've seen him be able to do that down low as well. So I imagine that he's going to draw Ren Sheets quite a bit. It's going to be difficult. You're going to see the speed of LCC. They're going to have to keep things in front of them, though. Sometimes when they get going quickly, you see them kind of go they love that wraparound, knockaway steal. It works, but not all the time. But this Crestview team, you can't allow them to have a lot of free runs. You got to keep them in front of you. You got to play tough defense.
And you know, you talk about getting the ball out of Ren Sheets' hands. It's tough to throw the ball inside when Jeff Williams has stolen it, headed the other way.
It's hard
to get the ball inside when he's shooting a layup at the other end.
Let me ask you this. There is no, like, silver bullet on how to defend Jordan Pretty, right? So if you're Crestview, do you just kind of switch guys throughout, or is it all eyes on Pretty?
Well, what they'll do is they'll man him up, and then they'll switch screens when it's advantageous to switch screens. And they'll do that, and they'll just make him work and make him work every single possession.
Yeah, well, And that's what I've seen a lot at teams. At this point, teams are just trying to face guard him. They are just trying to not give him a lot of space, trying to find ways of shutting him down. Because Jordan Pretty, with the shot that he has and the range that he doesn't need a lot of room. Mm-hmm. So if you play off, he will just pull up and shoot the ball. Yeah. So you've been seeing a lot of teams play that. They're just face guarding and trying not to let him shake loose.
All right, next game, a Friday night tilt. Number two, Rushi. Danny Holbrook's locked to win the state title. They're going to number eight, Bakken's. Dave Bowen and Josiah Stober are going to be on the call that way. Boy, what a tough weekend for Bakken's this weekend. They are not shying away from playing people, are they, Mark?
Yeah, because they get Shawnee on Saturday night. Yep. Yeah, it's a big weekend for those guys. Rushi's 19-0. They're 10-0. They're going to win the league because Bakken's is second with three losses. So even with two games left, Rushi's going to win the league. It's a very deep and talented team. They have a really good guard. Vince Borgers scores when he needs to. He is as solid of a defender as I've seen this year. I've had a lot of people say, can anybody guard Cam Esler? I don't know whether anybody can guard Cam Esler one-on-one or not. Borgers has the body and the mentality. If anybody can, it might be him. Not saying he will, but if they get that way into the regionals like it appears to be, he is the only person I've seen who has a chance to play him one-on-one and really hold him down. And they got good bigs, and they've been in a state tournament 2 years in a row. They know how to get there, and a good coach, and they're going.
They're linked everywhere.
They do.
You know, this is a rematch from earlier in the season. Rushi dominated that game. Bakken's is a good team, but Rushi just seems to be on a different level. I'd imagine Rushi's going to take care of business. But you're here for Danny this week, okay? So we know how Danny feels about Rushi and St. John's. Who do you have when it comes to Rushi and St. John's, Mark?
That's an interesting thing because you never bet against St. John's. I've seen them this time win games, and they say they don't have enough size inside. Yes, they do.
They find a way.
And then they got three or five guys making three-point field goals. And I don't know how you go against them, but – again, this is a Rushi team. You're talking about this game with Bodkins at Rushi. It was a six-point game going into the last quarter. Mm-hmm. And then Rushi jumped on him in the fourth quarter because they just wear people down. I don't know whether you can wear St. John's down or not. They just seem to find ways to play. I hope that game ends up in a regional final game and WSN setting there. And,
It seems like 8 Miles are doing it.
Oh.
It is a shame that is going to be a regional game.
Yeah.
That
state championship worthy.
Yes. It's a shame that one has to happen in that moment. A
lot of basketball between now and then. And hell, upsets happen in tournament time. Don't look ahead and all that kind of stuff. But on paper.
Oh, it's fun, though.
I'll tell you what. You deflect as good as I do when I'm trying not to pick a Lima Senior Shawnee. Yeah, Good job, Mark. Good job, Mark.
Game seven. That's all they kept saying last week. Hey, last thing on Rushi. Okay, nobody has broken 50 points against them this year, which is incredible. And they've held five opponents to under 30. That's playing pretty good defense.
Well, they used to be. Well, first of all, our league is a defensive league.
Yeah.
Nobody tries to get out of control offensively in that league, SCAL league. But the other thing about them is they used to be trap every pass and then go off in transition. This year they're doing some of that, but they're also doing a lot more just flat lockdown defense and doing it pretty well.
All right, game five this week. It's turned into one of the best rivalries between high schools in our area. Columbus Grove going to Hard Luck Bluffton. Boy, the matchups on this one are just, you go through the roster, you're like, who's going to guard this guy? Who's going to guard that way? Binkinter, one of the best on-ball defenders. Brady Basinger for Columbus Grove. He has come alive, been a big, big problem for offenses, for other teams on offense. How do you see this one, Nate?
This one's a tough one because Columbus Grove, obviously, they got the late start. They have a lot more games left than pretty much anybody else. You know, they've only got 14 games under their belt. They seem to be playing a lot better. They have that big upset of Spencerville that we talked about. That was huge for them. This Bluffton team, I challenge you to find any six-loss team in the state that has better six losses than this
Bluffton
team.
I would not
Bluffton
want to play them in the state tournament. Agreed.
Bluffton's losses have come to some of the highest quality opponents that you are going to see. Watching them in person for the first time on Friday night, you can see why they're so good, right? Blake Summers is a great big. He was able to neutralize Carter Orr because he just stayed away from the basket. Mm-hmm. And they were playing
man. But you
got
to defend him because he can hit the three.
Yeah.
He came out. Blake Summers hit a three-pointer to start the game.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden it was like, well, we have to play that defense right away. Yep. It worked perfectly. Carter Orr was held scoreless until the second half of that game. And Blake Summers was a big part of that. Bean Ginther, you mentioned, his defense was phenomenal. He went down into the post. He was playing low post. He was posting up Will Sensabaugh and Owen. They were switching off of him. So this is a tough Bluffton team who's gone through some tough times. They lose to Spencerville Friday night. They play a team out of Pennsylvania on Saturday night, a really good team. They lost that one. So they are coming off of a rough weekend. Mm-hmm. They're going to be looking to get right and get themselves back going in the right direction heading into tournament play, which is only a few weeks away. And their district is not easy.
No.
They have an incredibly difficult district as well. So this one's a tough one to call. But I feel like if Bluffton is going to right the ship and that they are going to get things going back in the right direction, this is a game that they have to win. And I think they find a way to do it.
Merrick Donaldson's going to have a really big ball game, which he does seem like every single on the
and
court.
I'll tell you
Nobody's
what,
more athletic than him.
And well, I'll tell you what, they were in this, you know, obviously they were leading the Spencerville team for a while. And all this. Merrick Donaldson had, I think, only two baskets from the floor. The rest of his points came from the free throw line. He might be the best free throw shooter in the area behind Cam Elwer.
Well, I think it's interesting about Bluffton. They have five offensive weapons. You got to go guard five different people. You can't say, you know what, we're going to take this guy out and take our chances with those guys.
No.
Because you can't do that with Bluffton. Too many people can score for them. I like Columbus Grove from this fact. They just gritty people.
Yep, they are.
Now, I know Baraz has got a bad ankle, and there's some question whether he plays at all and how effective he'll be and that type of stuff. Landon Bess has had injury issues. He got back in the game. You saw him after we said he wasn't going to play.
He gritted it out, man.
And
tough.
He plays, and they just play. And I like that about them. I like how their coach has treated them. They just come, and they treat every possession offensively and defensively as a challenge. And I really like that about them. Who wins the game? I have no idea. I think on paper. On paper, Bluffton looks a little better. Yeah, okay. But you don't win basketball games on paper. And I've seen Columbus Grove.
Yeah, and after that win against Spencerville, who's going to count Columbus Grove out of any game anyway?
Great point.
And you know who's coming along for them? Gage Sauter. Sophomore. Yeah. He was hurt early along. He's a sophomore. He can stroke the ball, and he's a very competitive young man. He can nail it from the three-point line, too.
Evan Skilleter and Andrew Collinsworth are going to be on that call for Columbus Grove and Bluffton. Surprising, Evan Skilleter, Mr. Pirate himself, going to be on that call. Saturday, the OG Winter Classic. Dunbar and number four Lima senior Danny Holbrook and myself will be on the call for that one. I'm hoping that Tyson McLaughlin has stored some extra rims because they might have to replace them after that one. How many dunks do you think we'll see in that one?
Well, the two best players for Dunbar are 6'5 Justice Taylor, who averages 12.4 points a game, and 6'5 Jace Allen, who averages 12.6. They average 16 rebounds between them. You know, you talk about Parker Krim rebounding, how he does it. Jace Allen has 90 offensive rebounds and 80 defensive rebounds. So he's one of those guys that's flipped the script a little bit, too. Then they got a really good point guard named Moses Sanford. So it's a team that likes to get up and down the floor. This sounds like Lyman senior numbers in the fact that they're 9-0 in their conference, you know, but they're 12-8 outside of it. So the conference is a thing that you don't really look at because they just kind of have been able to dust people off in the Dayton City League. It's a really good basketball team. It'll be a challenge this weekend.
Mark, you brought up Moses Sanford. And you know, of course, you knew the original Moses. What was he really like?
Well, he was really good at getting down the middle of the lane. Okay,
because he can just part those defense.
The defense just parted. He would go straight to the rim. He was doing us a favor.
He
was
what
amazing.
Was such a low blow. He's doing us a favor. What are you doing?
I was doing my notes earlier, and I saw Moses. I was like, yeah, I got to get Mark with an old guy joke.
No, the problem was later on, he had to have guys hold up his hands for him when he's signaling three.
For Lima Senior, this is, you know, The only concern that I have is that they've had a lot going on in the program.
Yes.
You know, Jaquel Cotton, and they've had that's a very close team that, you know, when one's down, they're all down. And it was a very emotional week for them.
Yep.
Then they finished things up with having the game against Shawnee, obviously, on Saturday night. Big environment, didn't go their way. So coming back into it, getting themselves back in the right direction. The only thing that concerns me is I felt like going into that Shawnee game, the one thing that was, and we talked about it on the show, one of the things that was going to be maybe an issue for Lima Senior was gym size. Gym size and length, right? Because Shawnee was so long, there's not as much room to have to move around. Mm-hmm. Is that going to hinder their transition game? Is that going to help Shawnee be able to defend that a little bit better? And I think I think we saw that in good chunks during that game. Dunbar, a lot of length, a lot of size. That OG gym is not very big. It's kind of a replica. Now, I don't think that Dayton Dunbar is as good as Shawnee. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the competition will be the same, but it will be interesting to see what Lima Senior learned from that Shawnee game and applied in this Dunbar game.
And will they continue to shoot balls from the three-point line when it didn't go well for them the other night? You kept thinking, okay, they see that zone. There's a spot there. Go to the rim, make something happen, and they took threes. That's their game plan. When they're on, they are just dynamite when they do it. They weren't making them the other night, part of it because of the length that they saw. You kept thinking at some point they're going to go to the rim. They didn't, but they competed. You know, they were in they fought to the end. You know, they didn't succeed, but they fought to the end. I like what Coach Simpson's been doing with his team.
All right, Mark, I'm going to challenge you with an Ohio State trivia question, Ohio State basketball trivia question, okay? Involves Dayton Dunbar, okay? You remember back when Randy Ayers and the Buckeyes were winning Big Ten titles in the early 90s, right? Do you remember that? It's a long time ago when Ohio State was really good at basketball.
Randy Ayers won?
It won back-to-back Big Ten titles. Yeah, 90, 91, 92. Who was the guard from Dayton Dunbar?
Oh, boy.
Played a lot.
Yeah, I know.
Not Jamal Brown, not Jimmy Jackson, but Mark Baker. Remember Mark Baker?
I do remember Mark Baker. Yeah. I saw Mark Baker in the state tournament.
Yeah, great ball.
What year was this?
91, 92.
Oh, cool. I was 7.
90. Yeah. All right. You remember it. Right? All right. Second game that we'll be covering from the OG Winter Classic, Upper Sandusky at Ottawa Glandorf. Danny and I will be on the call again for that one. Guys, I've had OG about 5 times this year. Sometimes they look like they're going to make that next step, right? It's a young team. Brody Fortman was absolutely fantastic against Van Wert, but he fouled out. Tomazos at times looks like a guy that's going to make that next step, but then they lose a game. It's a tough year for OG at 5-11. This is an Upper Sandusky team that is 13-4, won 3 in a row. Is this another moment that OG takes a step forward, or is it going to be a tough one against Upper Sandusky?
Well, I really felt like after the game against Bath that we were going to start seeing OG in a different
cost
way,
20 turnovers,
that looked more like the OG teams that we're used to seeing, right? And like, all right, maybe they finally kind of turned that corner and they're going to finish the season off right. You have seen them more than any of us. I've seen them a handful of times. Yeah. It does feel like they're playing better, though. It does absolutely feel like this team has grown. I know you really like the freshman Shoemaker coming
Shoemaker,
out of there.
Jordan Shoemaker, yeah.
So it does feel like this team is getting better and that they're doing things better. It's inconsistency, I think, is the nice way of putting it right now. And it's a hard thing to call, and it's a hard thing to say from game to game when your biggest issue is inconsistency because you don't know what you're going
to
see.
Yeah, in the first half against Van Wert, we're thinking, well, we're going to have to find Phil's stuff to talk about because they're up 9, and it looked like they're just going to pull away and win by 15 to 20, and then the inconsistency kind of sprung up again.
I think they've been really good defensively since the first of the year. That half-court trap that they want to run, you turn your back on them, and they're going to come and get you. Then they fly that guy from the backside and look for the steal. I think their half-court defense has been really good, and the three-quarter court presses that they like to use. But shooting the basketball has been inconsistent for them this year. Royce Auerbach's had big games from the three-point line. They've had a lot of guys who scored at points during the season but have not been able to put a consistent season together. I look for that to happen here before long. Upper Sandusky's 13-4, but they've got Mohawk, who's 15-1 on Tuesday night. Yeah. So that doesn't look very good for Upper Sandusky. Then they've got Bucyrus on Friday night, who's not very good right now. So they got a couple games this week to play before they get to Saturday. See if that does anything. Got to travel across the state. So I think this might be an OG win this weekend.
I like that. All right. On Saturday also, number 1, Spencerville. Number 3, Marion Local. Mark, you and Josiah Stover are going to be on that one. Tell us right now who wins.
Here's the flat out.
Everybody in the gym will win that night.
I win because we added this game when we realized how good a game this was going to be.
Yeah, amazing.
And Nick says, "Hey, do you think you'd be free that Saturday? Because I'm supposed to be busy this Saturday. Think you could be free Saturday night?" Oh, hurt me. I don't think. Yeah, I could probably rearrange the schedule a little bit
the
and make
Mark
this
shine.
One. Yeah, yeah, I can make this. I'm really looking forward to doing that. Marion Local is one of my favorite gyms to go to because it's kind of the old style gym. You sit right on the court.
Yeah.
They got those kids on the baseline down there. They got Freddie Flyer running around. I really like going to Marion Local. They're big. Austin Niekamp is having a really, really good year. Going to Malone, he can shoot it from inside and out, and he's rebounding so well this year. They lead the conference in rebounding. Grant Kramer just broke the school record for 3-point field goals. He can shoot it from deep. It's a team that's got a lot of pieces, and I think this is a team that's really pretty good. But then we talked about Spencerville.
Yeah.
Boy, you just don't go against Spencerville right now.
It just feels like such a special, maybe a season of destiny for Spencerville, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like that. Definitely starting through the season, you kind of felt that way.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, hey, you know what? They're finally going to get over that hump. They're playing really well. And it still feels like that. But it just every time you look down, Spencerville's just got another juggernaut and another juggernaut to go through. You know, I think that they learned a lot 2 weeks ago when they had the Columbus Grove game on Friday night and St. John's on Saturday. You know, I know, you know, we talked to Coach Sensabaugh a little bit earlier. But and we didn't get into this with him, but you have to believe at the end of the day, kids are kids. We're talking about high school kids.
Right.
They were looking ahead a little bit.
Sure.
And I think that that's probably what cost them a little. That's why they were a little bit off. They're not going to shoot that bad from the 3-point line or from the free throw line.
Yeah.
That was an anomaly. Right.
Sure.
And so you're not going to see that out of them. If they correct that just a little bit, they win that Columbus Grove game and they're still undefeated. They beat a St. John's team that beat this Marion Local team.
Yeah.
Now. And maybe, and everybody can write in and email and comment, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. But all season long, I have really felt like, and I've been vocal about it. I think that people really are underestimating the different size gyms. I mean, the courts aren't 3 times a different size, but there is a difference in playing at Marion Local
than there is at
Lima Senior. Yeah. When there's a difference between playing at, you know, at Delphus St. John's than there is at Spencerville or LCC. It is different. And playing in that Marion Local gym, it is an old school gym. You are on top of everything. It is a smaller floor. They're not going to be able to cram a whole lot of fans in there. That will be another sellout.
Yeah.
That environment, though, it just does something. Now, It'll get you tournament ready.
Right.
And, you know, Spencerville's going to come out of that. But that home court, I just don't think can be overstated.
Now, I'm going to fill in here on the three wise men. Are we allowed to go down rabbit trails?
That's all we do. That's all we do, Mark.
You've met Danny.
The tournament draw is Sunday.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Can you enter information into a computer and have it register immediately?
I think so.
I think you can.
You can.
So why is it that Friday night's games are the last games that count for seeding purposes?
Is it really?
Oh,
why can't we take this game, play this game, get the numbers in the computer, and make it a more accurate representation on Sunday when they do the draw?
Especially since you're off.
Well, and more importantly than that, they're in the same
district.
They're
in the same
district. This is vitally important to that seeding. That's crazy. I thought Saturday's games would count. I can't believe that they're not.
I'm not a computer.
Hey, look at you. He's not a conspiracy theorist. He's looking at me.
I'm not a computer guy, right, Miles? You know that. I battle that thing every day. But I think if I punched win and punched L, it would show up on Sunday morning before we had to decide who the seeding is.
Yeah. You're aware those aren't keys on the keyboard, right?
Is that right? I just jammed a finger. But it's just a frustrating thing. Why?
It is. Well, especially in a game like this one where there could be a direct consequence
absolutely
for that seeding based off of the outcome in this game. That's a tough one to kind of talk your way through on that one because that could be big.
Let's just say, just to throw numbers out, let's just say that Marion Local gets seeded number one and Spencerville wins the game. That just backwards. You got to get that game should count.
It should count as something, right?
Yeah.
But I think coming in, I haven't looked at Martin RPI this week. I think Spencerville's won in that district. So as long as they don't lose, I think it should work itself out. But if Marion Local beats Spencerville,
exactly,
now you could have that exact thing just flipped. And if I was Marion Local, and it's not the easiest.
Just win.
Well, it's not the easiest district to go through because Coldwater's in there too. Like, I mean, it really could affect who you have to play prior to getting to that district
Baylen
final.
Baylen Lochberger just lit him up for 26 points in the first quarter the other night on Saturday night. And 4 off for 43, a school record.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up because that's our last game.
Oh, yeah.
Of
how about that?
Number 5, Crestview at Coldwater with Baylen Lochberger.
Yeah.
Dave Bowen and Kelsey Beimer. Hard to believe Dave Bowen's on a call for a Crestview game. Absolutely shocking stuff there.
Who played this up? Because I'm on with question mark and the Mysterians.
Well because
96 tears. You don't know that, Nate. That was before you were alive. But
I know at this point, anytime a reference is said, and I have zero idea what you're talking about, it's got to be real, real
long. I'm on here with question mark and Mysterians.
So Crespi with Ren Sheets and Baylen Lochberger. I mean, two unbelievable basketball players right there. How do you see this one, guys?
Well, first of all, there's Owen Kunk at Colbar. Owen Kunk, 6'7".
Yeah.
He can rebound a basketball. He spends a lot of time on the three-point line. He's not a low post type scorer for them. He's good. Layfell went off for 22 the other night. He's averaging 6.5 points a game. He had 22. So they found a score in there. I really like some of the things that's going on with Nick Fisher's team. They got a late start because of football.
Absolutely.
You know, their first game was going to Rushi. I mean, come on.
let's go play Rushi,
our first game. So they've had some situations go like that for them. I like Coldwater, but Crestview's really playing well right now. This is a great matchup for our station to have.
You know, I think this is a really difficult game for Coldwater. The night before, they play Marion Local.
Exactly.
This is a really tough back-to-back. Now, this is a Coldwater team that started off slow. We talked about it. You know, they obviously had the long football run. They got started a little late. They started the season 2-3. Since then, only two losses, and those came to Delphi St. John's and to Versailles in back-to-back games. No shame in losing those games whatsoever.
Right.
So this is a really good Coldwater team. But I think the outcome of this one is really going to be dependent on how Friday night goes for Coldwater. That, you know, we know conference games always come first for these guys. You do all of your planning for Friday night. That's a big matchup for those guys. Could have big seeding implications depending on how that one goes. And then you have to turn around the next night and you're playing a Coldwater team really, really good. We've talked a lot about – or a Crestview team, excuse me, really, really good team. So – you know, I can see this one going either way. I think either team has the talent to win this one, but I really do think that this one is going to come down to how Friday night goes for both teams because Crestview has LCC on Friday night. It's not an easy Friday night for either one.
How tired are your legs?
Yeah.
We have a few weeks to go yet, but when you're looking at Coach of the Year, there's a lot of people around here we can look at.
Oh, man.
Coach Guttemiller, they go 11-0 in 23 days
after
coming off of football.
It's incredible.
And then to have just one loss at this particular point in the season, he's got to get some votes. I don't know how this is going to turn out over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But he's got to get some votes where we're at right now.
Well, of course, all the coaches are eagerly awaiting who we select on the three wise men as our coach of the year.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's the award they want.
That's the real prize. The ladies' draw came out on Sunday, guys. Yeah. So what the question is, who has the best opportunity to reach the state final four? Which of all the districts that came out, which team, local team, do you think has that best opportunity to run forward?
Oh, boy. I guess because I've seen what Carlos Siegel's done before, I really like Fort Laramie. Yeah. They've got two tough losses this year, one to Ottawa Glandorf. They've got two tough losses this year, but she always does such a great job. And she's hard to prepare for because they trap every single pass,
yes,
and then they take it in transition. And when you're on a tournament schedule where you're playing every couple days, you don't have a chance to prepare for it in any depth. I really like what Fort Laramie's doing.
Yeah, great point there.
Yeah, for me, I had three teams. Fort Laramie was one. Yep. I also think dropping down to this expanded divisions, they're playing down in D7.
Yeah.
I just don't know who's going to step up in that division to knock them off. I don't see it. So I think Fort Laramie for sure. Up in D5, Ottawa Glandorf, obviously. Mm-hmm. They are playing fantastic. You know, it's weird for me to say, and, you know, we have been doing our top three teams, area teams for basketball. OG girls have been in mine the last three mm-hmm. weeks. And it all started with that win over Fort Laramie.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say that they were going unnoticed, but you're so used to seeing a team win that it doesn't really register with you as much as maybe it should.
Right.
When they beat Fort Laramie in the way they beat Fort Laramie, that really opened my eyes. I think it opened a lot of other people. Like, this is a really, really good Ottawa Glandorf team. Just not a lot of fanfare behind it for whatever reason. But this may be one of the best teams they've ever have come through the doors of Ottawa.
Well, I think there's two parts to that, Nate. Number one is it was at Fort Laramie.
Yeah.
That was not a home game. That was down at Fort Laramie. And that's a very difficult gym. It's a nice big facility. It's a difficult place to play when you go on the road. The other thing is, how many people say, well, the Western Buckeye League girls aren't really a good league this year, so what's OG really accomplishing? Well, look at what they've done in some of their non-conference games, and they're not getting upset in the conference games either. So this is a good team.
Yeah, they've scheduled some real quality competition outside the WBL. OG, I think they match up maybe with Bluffton or Delta at the end of that. Delta's a really good team, not real deep. They only got about five girls, three really good ones. I like OG's chances, but the Van Wert district to me is the most eagerly anticipated for me to watch because you have Wayne Trace, Allen East, Columbus Grove, and Crestview. I mean, those are four teams with guards and that can get after it. I think that's going to be a very entertaining district.
Well, and one other one that I had, and I mentioned them earlier, I think Kenton is lined up to make a nice run. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do have to get through Bellevue at some point, you would imagine, and that Bellevue team is really good. But I think this Kenton team, with the size that they have, everything we talked about at the beginning of the last segment, I think Kenton has an opportunity here to make a really deep run in this tournament.
If I were going to add one more, I'd add Crestview because I really like what Mark Gregory does.
Does a great job.
He does a really, really good job with his program over there. They've always been really good defensively, and it seems that defense gets better the farther they get into the tournament. They have time to prep to shut teams down.
And had to replace one of the greatest players in program history, his daughter, last year.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they've done a great job.
But then you got Ellie Klein, who's the 1,000-point scorer and broke the school record for assists.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's amazing.
That's pretty good.
Well, and we haven't mentioned – I mean, there's so many girls' teams, and I know we can get down a rabbit hole, but we haven't even talked about Ottoville. I saw Ottoville a week ago, 2 weeks ago now maybe, against Delphus Jefferson. That team's phenomenal.
Yeah, they are.
I mean,
that's
a really good team.
I had them on my list, too.
Yeah.
All right, so many great games this year, guys. In your opinion, if you're going to say this game was the greatest game so far this year, which game would that have been, Nate?
It's easy for me. I've already talked about it multiple times here. The Spencerville-Bluffton game this last weekend, it's one of the greatest games I've had the pleasure of being in person to watch.
Well, I watched the games on our station. But the best one I've been to was St. John's in Spencerville. Mm. A tremendous high school game. The two teams just went at each other. And in that atmosphere, to shoot as high a percentage as both teams did was outstanding. And then it came down to it's a two-point game, and Cam Elwer goes to the rim. He puts one up that 99% of the time is going to fall in, and it kind of went, and it fell out. And then Spencerville scored the buzzer to make it a four-point game instead of a tied. But it was a great high school basketball, and that would have, could have, should have been an overtime.
I will say any game that is a buzzer beater in Danny's calling, they're going to count it! They're going to count it! kind of any game that is the greatest game. But no, my answer is Shawnee at Delphus St. John's.
Yeah, that's another great one.
They were so far behind, and they scratched and clawed and came back, and Mark Triplett was breaking out the box in one, and then the triangle in two. I mean, there was so much intrigue with just the X's and O's that were going on and the drama of DSJ coming back and winning that one. There have been so many great games. Now, a lot of these great games, Nate, have been because guys have been or coaches have been here on the Three Wise Men, right? People come on this show, and then the next week, they have great performances. Is there something to this Three Wise Men show karma that people have when they leave the show?
All right, listen, you put me in a really difficult spot here because I am constantly fighting against you and your crazy conspiracy theories and constantly battling you on the nonsense on a regular basis. But yeah,
you mean the truth.
Yeah,
the truth.
Yeah. Hey, listen, yeah. Coaches and players, if you want to have a great week, give us a call. We'll get you on the show. It's a guarantee.
Look
you're going to light it up the next weekend.
The Berkey's last week on the show all of a sudden.
It's hard to argue
they
with
score
fact.
100 between the two? Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is this is reversed. The WSN guys who go, hey, look, he's made 8 free throws in a row, and the next one clanks, you know, or he's really shooting. He's been shooting the ball lights out the last 3 games, and he clanks about 4 in a row and board balls one. We have a reputation of being a negative when it comes to the jinx category. So if you guys are able to succeed with this Three Wise Men stuff, more power to you.
I like it. Come on the show, folks. You're going to be great. Let's move on to the Buckeye corner. Let's talk some Buckeye stuff, right? Boy, for a national championship football team, and you think things would be smooth sailing. All of a sudden, coaches are in high demand, and they are leaving, okay? We know about Judas Jim Knowles going to Penn State. We know, of course, about Chip becoming a very wealthy man going to the Raiders. But Justin Fry left. He went to the Arizona Cardinals, which got me thinking, guys. Might have been the most demonized coach on that staff, right? As the offensive line coach, people hated him, and then they loved him, right? Is it a blessing, Nate, Justin Fry not being with the Buckeyes anymore?
See, it's February 4 months ago, but like absolutely
right.
You know, but you got to give Justin Fry a lot of credit. He retooled an offensive line that was decimated by injury. He had to move a lot of guys around. There's a lot of moving parts to that offensive line. He did a really, really good job. Justin Fry, you know, from what we were told, just doesn't like recruiting. And he just wants to coach. And I think we're starting to see that kind of be a theme. College coaches don't want to deal with free agents and NIL and who has the most money and buying players. I'll go to the pros. Other people handle that. Yeah, I don't have to worry about the money. Yeah. I just got to coach who they put in front of me. It seems to be easier. I think that's what Justin Fry did. I do think that there's going to be a hole there. I do think that, you know, Justin Fry did a really good job. You know, we'll see what happens. I started to be a little worried. We talked about this a lot off air. Should there be a concern for how Ryan Day is handling his coaching staff? Because you just went to Natty and guys are just mass exodus, and they're not leaving for head coaching positions. Your defensive coordinator leaves to be the defensive coordinator at another school in your league. You know, Chip Kelly leaves to be an offensive coordinator in the pros. Justin Fry, he leaves to take the O-line job in the pros. However, you start seeing the money these guys are getting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chip Kelly got $6 million.
Highest paid coordinator ever.
I'm not sure I would have even stopped in Ryan Day's office to tell him I was leaving. I'd have shot him a text from my private jet being like, hey, selfie, living the good life.
Hey, it was real.
Yeah, like, you know, I sent a picture for me at the craps table in Vegas going, I'm never leaving this place. you know, I do think that there are going to be some things. I think you said, I hadn't seen it yet, but I think you said
Brian Hartline.
Brian Hartline's a new offensive coordinator. I think that's a great kind of transition, keeping things in-house. You know, what they're going to do on offensive line, we'll wait and see. But I do think that it is a loss. I don't know that Ohio State fans should be cheering it. But I also think that we'll be okay.
Mark, they went 9 deep on the offensive line and won a national title.
Right. The guy was important. Yeah. Okay. I think now we're going to have to see another side of Ryan Day. We know he can recruit players, right?
Yes.
He now has an opportunity to recruit coaches. He's got money, he's got a national championship, and the prestige that goes along with that, and they got people who will come to their school and play football. He can go and get coordinators now, right? He can go and get offensive line coaches. It's up to him to pick the best one he can get and convince them to come to his school, just like he does to recruit players to come to his school.
Mm, yeah, that's a great point. He's going to have to really step up the game. However, though, every time Ryan Day has been faced with a challenge, he's stepped up to it.
He's figured it out.
He has, yeah.
I mean, he pulled Chip Kelly in about a 24-hour notice after he lost, you know,
Bill O'Brien.
So, you know, you do have to give Ryan Day credit for being able to go out there and get good.
You know, the other part about this is you don't become stagnant when you change assistant coaches. You get new philosophies, new ideas, new discussions in the coach's office.
Right.
You might throw some stuff out and add some stuff, but at least you get a rewash of everything that you're trying to do when you bring in new people to your coaching staff.
All right, let's move on to basketball. And you can tell when I typed this out because it was at halftime of the Ohio State-Illinois game. Buckeye basketball, have they finally turned a corner? I'll start. No, they have not. What do you guys think?
So I'm going to push back on you a little bit on that, okay? When you talk about have they finally turned the corner, what has been the biggest issue with Ohio State basketball over the last couple of years? It's not a rhetorical question.
Not getting into the tournament.
Well, no, this time of year, what has been our biggest problem?
They would have the Chris Holtmann six-game slide.
We can't win in January,
yeah.
Okay? We have five losses in January by a combined 20 points.
Yeah.
Okay, that including two 2-point losses and one 1-point loss.
Right,
we're competitive. We knew there was going to be growing pains. Right, you're talking about Coach Diebler, who I don't know if he was ready to be a head coach. He was kind of thrusted into this, and then it just seemed to make the most sense. The players wanted him. I think he's still learning on the fly.
He has
won some big games. He's beaten Kentucky. You know, we just beat Purdue. A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
This Illinois game was a little bit of disappointment because things did look like they were getting a little better. We're winning. Everybody looks great. And then all of a sudden, a late run in that one jumped it up to a double digit. But that game was a lot closer than what that final score said.
Well, I think it's getting better. And I do like what bothers me was the loss to Illinois the way it went because you're up and then it got away from you. Oregon.
In a hurry.
Oregon, you're up. It got away from you. There have been games when, exactly, you think that you're in. And I know there's a lot of time to go. They were on the road. Illinois is really good. But to have a lead and then have it get away from you just seemed like repetitious. But I think they got things figured out. They need to get healthy. You know, now they need to get Sean Stewart back. They just can't seem to put Colin White's back. And, in fact, I heard some of Coach Diebler's show coming out here tonight. They're going to count on him to do more, and they expect him to do more. So I think they just need to get everybody healthy, get them on the same page. But I kind of like where they're headed in February.
All right. So let me ask you this then. Who's their, in your estimation, who is their go-to guy? Like, they need that big bucket.
So my answer is also because I was watching the Illinois game, and it's Devin Royal.
Yeah.
Devin Royal 29. Has looked really good. You know, I think the problem with that Illinois game was he started off hot. And then he kind of went away for a little while, right? Like, they didn't have anybody kind of to help bridge that gap in between those downtimes.
Or they just wouldn't give him the ball. Like, when Illinois went on that huge run, I mean, we went 3-4 possessions without Devin Royal even touching.
Well, but even earlier in the game, when they went on that 10-0 run to get the lead back, they tried to force it into him, and then he was losing it, you know, constantly. So, but he is stepping up to be that guy. There's a lot of other guys that, you know, I don't know that they thought Devin Royal would be that go-to person. There was going to be other guys that they were going to kind of lean on. And he's the one that stepped up and taken that mantle. He has the talent. He has the ability. He's looked good. I haven't watched a ton of Ohio State basketball because we've been knee-deep in football and all the things going on. And really, this Illinois game was the first time that I had an opportunity to kind of sit down from start to finish and watch a Buckeye game.
You shouldn't have watched the finish.
Yeah, but, you know, I was really impressed with him.
I think Bruce Thornton's the key. You have to have quality point guard play to go deep.
Yeah.
And I think he's the key, either as a scorer, as a defender or as a distributor, they have to have him play well. And either he's got to take it upon himself late in games or say, okay, the defense is run to me, who's open, and get the ball and distribute to that particular person. And then that person has to produce. But I think it starts with point guard play.
All right, let me ask you this because it's maddening to me. Late in that game in the second half against Illinois, and you see this constantly with their offense, it becomes one guy just pounding the basketball, three guys on the other side staring at him. What is their offense? I mean, it just looks like it's all isolation or two-man game all the time. To me, if I was playing against them, I would love to play defense because you don't have to guard three of the guys.
Well, I mean, your question is, have they figured out their offense? And I think it's hard to say that they haven't, only in the sense that they're averaging over 70 points a game. I mean, this is the first time I can remember in a long time that that Ohio State's offense has been a borderline juggernaut. They've had games into the 80s, into the 90s. They are playing high-scoring games. To me, their defense is a much bigger issue than their offense.
Especially against Illinois. The defense was terrible in the second half. But a lot of those points are in transition. When it gets to a half-court game, what's
their offense? Have four guys averaging double figures. Yeah. And then that counts. They got four guys between 11 and 17 points a game. I think that's a really important thing. I think that's a step forward. I like this offense better than the Chris Holtman offense.
Oh, yeah.
Where we ran a little weave on the perimeter for 20 seconds out of the shot clock and then said, now what? I like what we're doing. I do like what we're doing better than what we saw before.
Oh, okay. All right. So forecast for the rest of the season. I look at this team 13-9. I mean, they would have to go on a great run to get in the tournament. Like, you just look at the Big Ten standings. There are so many teams that they have to jump over, right? I think it's another NIT year. What do you guys think?
So I the one thing I will give this team is if you look at the games that they've played over the last 6 weeks, they have been in a lot of those games, especially Big Ten games. They have big wins against ranked opponents. They really only have one or two blowout games where they just
Maryland.
Weren't in, right?
Yeah.
So I think that this is a team that has the potential to be one of these Buckeye teams that make a run in that Big Ten tournament and makes a noise.
Like
I think that they can match up with teams. I think they can give themselves a shot. Now, I do think that that might be the only way they make it in, though.
Yes.
And if they don't win that Big Ten tourney, I think I tend to agree with you where it's an NIT year.
Well, I think this Maryland game is a key. They got dusted by Maryland at Maryland.
Yeah.
If they win one at home against Maryland, I think that propels them into the rest of a really could be a good season. They got 9 games left. If they get 7-2, can they get 7-2? And I got the big trip out west when you got to go play UCLA and then a not very good USC, mm-hmm. but you got to hang around Los Angeles for 3 or 4 days so you get to play it. You know,
right.
What are you gonna?
The Big Ten's weird.
You know, it's a weird. It's a mess. Yeah. What the scheduling has done to them. But if they get 6 wins or 7 wins, win a couple in a Big Ten tournament, if they're above 500 in a conference, which is a pretty good conference, I think they get in.
22 wins gets them in.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, particularly if they get above 500 in a conference, I think so.
I mean, if they get 22 wins, they're gonna have a great finish, and they're gonna have to win a couple of tournament games as well to get there. So I think that they do that. Then
nine more wins.
Look at what their quad one wins are. They've done pretty good in quad one games. So yeah, and then the other criteria is how are you playing as we get the last 10 games of the season. So if they go, 6-2, so whatever, then win a couple Big Ten games,
that win against Purdue, in a couple of weeks, could loom very large if they go on a nice run here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're right about that, Mark. But I think I'm going to be watching that NIT bracket fill-up show, and I'm like, are the Buckeyes in it?
We're number 69.
Mark Schein, Nate Garlock. See, I said your name right, Nate Garlock. How about that?
One in every 20 comes out right.
Danny Holbrook, I hope you're feeling better. We'll see you next week, guys. The Three Wise Men. It was awesome being with you guys.
Disappointed with Danny didn't get sick before the Shawnee game, so one of us could go.
Danny held on too long. We all know Dar carried him on that one. For the Three Wise Men, thanks so much for watching on WOSN.